continue looking at Bible study. We haven't really got to the how-to, be a while, but we've seen so far that we're to read the Bible, of course, every day. I believe we're to search it, to study it, to meditate upon whatever it is that we've read, searched, and studied. And then, of course, we're to make personal application. If we simply read the Bible and give it no thought through the day and do not apply it to our lives, the reading doesn't really accomplish very much. So we can't be satisfied with just reading the Word of God. The reason that we ought to do these things, first and foremost, is because of what God's Word is. And the first thing is, it is God's Word. And that ought to motivate us to read it and search it and study it, meditate and apply it to our lives. We've seen that because it is the Word of God, it takes on the very character of God. That is, God's Word is eternal, it's immutable, it's pure, it's true, it's powerful, it's living. We see in Proverbs 6 and verse 22, Proverbs 6, verse 22, he says, when thou goest it, and the it refers back to the commandments and the law, and he was to bind these continually upon his heart and upon his neck. It shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. So the Bible is a living, active, speaking book. As we've said many times, we do not have to bring life to the Bible. We need to draw life from the Bible. The Bible is a living book, and therefore it is a powerful book. The Bible, being the Word of God, like God, is majestic. We see in Psalm 138 and verse 2, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's quite a statement. When you think of the name of God, when you think of all the names of God, the names of God declare who God is. They declare the attributes of God. And we see here that the Word of God is magnified above the name of God. Therefore, it should never be treated as an ordinary book. Therefore, it should never be put on the same level with any other book written by man. It is magnified, it is above all, it's glorious, it's greater than all other writings, it's above all other books, it's superior to all other books, it takes precedence over all others. This should encourage us to read it, to search it, to study it. It is the breath, it is the very breath of the Almighty God. It is the writing and the communication of God who is the creator of the universe. It is God communicating to you and I. It is the God who knows all things communicating to you and I. So the Bible, again, is no ordinary book. It's not simply the opinions of man. You know, many times you show somebody something, it's black and white in the Word of God, it's plain as day, and they say, well, that's your opinion. That's just an excuse not to accept what is written. It's very plain, and it's not the opinions of man. It's far above the opinions of man. It's far above the philosophies and the reasonings and the ideas of mere mortals. It is the unveiling of the unchanging mind of God. The Bible doesn't tell us everything, but the Bible does tell us everything that we need to know about God. And it is the unveiling of His mind. It doesn't tell us, of course, everything upon the mind of God. That's not possible. But it tells us what we need to know about the mind and about the will of God. So it is a revelation. It is a revelation of God. And for all of these reasons, it should be read, searched, studied, meditated upon, and applied. The Bible also should be read, searched, and studied because of its design. God, everything God does, He has a specific purpose. He has a specific design. And we see that God inspired the Bible. Holy men of God were moved to write what God told them to write. And everything that God told them to write, all the histories, all the genealogies, all the accounts, it all has a design. And it all has a design for you and I. And because of what the Bible is designed to do, because of what it is designed to accomplish, it is to have a prominent place in our lives. So we want to consider some of the designs of the Bible, what the Bible was designed to do. The Bible, of course, is designed for giving life. Now, it is the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God and imparts life. But the Bible is the seed, it is the tool which the Holy Spirit uses to give life, to give spiritual life. Notice in Psalm 119, Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. That is, thy word gave him life. Verse 93. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now we know that God uses the word in the granting of spiritual life in the new birth. But we also ought to know by now that we that have been saved for any length of time, that there are many, many times in our life when we need fresh life. And the word of and the Spirit of God uses the word to do this. In James chapter 1 and verse 18, of his own will begat he This, of course, would be speaking of the new birth. Begat he us with the word of truth. He begat by his own will. He begat us with the word of truth. 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, that's why we are to preach the word of God to dead sinners, because it is God by his will that begats. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, where there's birth there must be seed. We are born again, but not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And then he tells us what that incorruptible seed is. By the word of God. Why is it incorruptible? Because it lives and abides forever. But each of these verses tell us that the Bible is designed for giving life. The best thing you can do with a lost sinner is to refer them to the word of God. Declare unto them the word of God. Of God, not your opinions, not your philosophies, but simply the Word of God. Because if they're ever going to be saved, the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to impart spiritual life unto them. It's not our ideas that He will use, it's not our opinions, it's the Word of God. So that's what we need to declare to lost sinners. But this is also true of you and I that are saved. At times we have spiritual life in us, being born again. But at times we need reviving. At times we need to have that life aroused into activity. And again, God uses the word to do that. The worst thing you can do is when you begin to feel down spiritually, you begin to feel drained spiritually, and you don't feel like reading the Word of God, the worst thing you can do is not to read the Word of God. What you need to do when you most feel like not reading the Word of God, that's when you need to force yourself to read the Word of God. Because God uses the Word to arouse us. And let's be honest. We get ourselves in a state at times when we don't feel like reading the Word of God. We don't feel like worshiping. We don't feel like doing the things that we know we ought to do. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. You have to force yourself. Because if you're going to be roused, God's going to use His Word. He's going to use the Word of God. It's designed. It is designed for giving life. And this, and the psalmist, of course, refers to this throughout Psalm 119 when he prays, "Quicken thou me according to thy word." Over and over and over, he prays this prayer. And then notice in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth, well, let's read verse 15. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." How is it that we shine as lights in the world? Holding forth. And then notice what it's referred to, the word of life. The Bible is the word of life. Therefore, it is to be read. It is to be searched. It is to be studied. We're to meditate upon it. It is designed for giving life. It is not only designed for giving life, it is designed for supporting spiritual life. All life needs support. Our physical lives need support. Without support, we die. You cannot continue to live unless there be a support for that life. This is true spiritually. We cannot be spiritually healthy unless we have something that supports spiritual health. Now, people depend upon a lot of things for spiritual health. A lot of people depend upon their circumstances. Well, if that be your case, you're not going to be very spiritually healthy. Some people depend upon other people to support them spiritually. Once again, you're not going to be a spiritually mature individual. You're not going to be spiritually healthy. Some depend completely upon the church to support their spiritual health, and they'll come perhaps just on Sunday mornings and try to get all the spiritual support that they can possibly get. That's not going to work. Or they may come Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. But if that's all the spiritual support you have, it's not going to work. The Bible is designed for supporting spiritual life. You think about it. A lot, well, probably not a lot, because a lot of them are probably lost, but many of God's people, though they are saved, they live like lost people. They live their lives like lost people. Why is that? I mean, we all do occasionally. We all occasionally think like a lost person. That's because of our nature. But there are people who habitually, I mean, that's their life. They're saved, but they live like a lost person. Now, they may blame it on a lot of things, but the truth is, their spiritual support system is lacking. And what it means is, the Word of God is not what it ought to be in their lives. Because the Word of God is designed for supporting spiritual life. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse 4. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. That is, he permitted thee to hunger. He's talking physically. God also does that spiritually. And fed thee with manna. God caused them to be hungry physically. And then God provided them with physical food, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. The reason that God caused them to be physically hungry, and the reason God provided for that physical hunger, was to teach them a lesson. That man doth not live by bread only, physical food, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Jesus, of course, in Matthew 4 and verse 4, quoted this scripture to Satan. The Holy Spirit causes us to hunger spiritually. If you never hunger spiritually, I doubt very seriously that you know the Lord. I doubt very seriously that you're saved. If we are saved, somewhere in us, there is a spiritual hunger. And what a blessing when every single day the Lord causes us to be spiritually hungry. Now, when I am physically hungry, I go to where I know there is food. I go to the pantry. I go to the refrigerator. I go to where I know there is food. When I am spiritually hungry, we are to do the same. We are to go where we know there is food. You say, well, that's why I come to church on Sundays. Do you only eat one day a week physically? No, you eat every day. And we are to eat every day. And we're to have a spiritual hunger every single day. And we go to the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God that God uses to sustain our spiritual life. It is the Word of God that God uses to feed the spiritual life of a child of God. And therefore, it is referred to as food. God's Word is food. It's energy. Notice in Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23 and verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Food is necessary. Food is necessary for physical life. But Job says, I esteem the words of his mouth more necessary than physical food. That ought to be so with us as well. It's not that we don't need physical food. But we need to have our priorities right. You know, if we would eat more spiritually and eat less physically, all of us would be much better off. If we had more of a spiritual appetite rather than a physical appetite, we would be much better off. In Psalm 119, and verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. That isn't always so. Sometimes it's bitter tasting. But if you taste it, and you digest it, it becomes sweet. But again, this refers to God's Word as food. In Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me, that is, after I ate them, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Again, God's word is designed to support, to sustain, and feed spiritual life. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. The reason they are hard to be spoken is because you're dull of hearing. That is, they become tired of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The Word of God is both. The Word of God is milk. The Word of God is strong meat. We need both. We need the milk of the Word. We need the meat of the Word. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But we're to grow. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That speaks of maturity, spiritual maturity. And when the word of God is preached in an assembly, there are those who need milk. There are those who need meat. And I believe a message should contain both milk and meat. And when an individual reads the Word of God personally, there are some that need milk, there are some that need meat. The Word of God contains both. It is milk, it is meat. Lastly, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow. Thereby being the milk of the word. We need milk. We need meat. The word of God is designed for supporting, for sustaining, for feeding spiritual life. When you begin to feel, and some would disagree, but I do believe, I know it's so in my life, when you begin to feel that you are beginning to slide spiritually, you need to get in the Word. You need to get in the Word. The worst thing you can do is stay out of the Word of God, to neglect the very thing that sustains thee, the very thing that gives food. But what many people do is they feel themselves sliding, and they begin to go to all the wrong sources for food. In fact, they go to the places that really accelerate their spiritual decline. The Word of God will not accelerate spiritual decline. The Word of God will stop spiritual decline. So we need to, again, the Word of God needs to be a major part of our lives. Let's look to the Lord and word of